Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Robin Strongen of the Center for Political Art in D.C. I ran across their gallery online and thought it was a great outlet. I generally try to stay away from politics on the podcast, even though you don't have to go far in your history books to know that art and politics have gone hand in hand for a long time. I had to learn more about it. I wanted to learn how they started, how they decide, well, all about it, really. It's a new gallery, and it's really opening the way for discussion. They're open to all views, but when they did the calls, only liberal artists responded. So any conservative artists out there, I encourage you to get in touch with Robin and join the discussion. Enjoy! So how's your day going?
Pretty good. How about you? Can't complain.
It's going good. It's not bad. So,
the weather here is beautiful.
Is it? Yeah, same here. I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
It's really nice here. But yeah, so I was, I've just kind of stumbled upon your gallery.
I was curious how you heard about us.
Yeah, it was just surfing and I found it and I was
glad
just,
you did.
And I was like, this seems really cool. I just think it sounds very cool. So I'm curious. How did it start? Really, I mean, just kind of what was
sure.
the impetus?
Mm-hmm. So several years ago, a award-winning foreign correspondent by the name of Charles Krauss was retired, and he traveled all over, covered for major news outlets, the Post, the Washington Post, the NewsHour, and other stations. And he covered revolutions and wars and overthrowing governments and so on and so forth, really throughout the entire world, and had just a really incredible career. Mm-hmm. And the reason I bring this up is one of the things that he did, aside from being brought up in a home where his folks collected art, mm-hmm. he would seek out artists
right.
in often repressed areas of the world because artists have a different way of looking at the world. They're kind of
right.
on the cutting edge, and just they sense a pulse of things in a way that when you're trying to put a story together, it's just mm-hmm. another perspective. And so along the way, he collected all of this art, which he realized in retrospect was really political art, and he mm-hmm. opened a gallery in D.C. in his living room.
Oh, wow.
Fast forward, and he had that for several years, kind of a man ahead of his time, if uh-huh. you will. And I didn't know him at that time, but I had we're both in Washington, D.C., and so I had a public affairs company, and I sold it, and I was ready to do something else, and I wanted to do something in the arts, and I was very fired up about the election, and I've been following politics. I worked on Capitol Hill, and so obviously have an interest,
right.
but wanted to see if there was a way to combine the arts and politics. And so a mutual friend of ours introduced us, and it just seemed like the logical thing to do. So what we created together, based on his vision and my putting organizations together, it was mm-hmm. a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And we both, you know, were aligned with our interest in politics and the role that artists and the arts can play in mm-hmm. civic engagement. And that was really the impetus. And so what we really both came to the conclusion is we wanted to create a nonprofit so that it was a gallery plus, mm-hmm. and that we could wrap around some research around the power of art to engage people in a way that data and talking points just are falling flat. And there are so many artists in the country that have something really important to say, and how do we tap into that? Because a lot of museums and galleries will not show controversial work or really profound work mm-hmm. when an issue is politically hot in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll do a retrospective, they'll do, you know, civil rights 40 years, 50 years, 60 years later, but
right.
to do race relations or Russian interference or issues that are being covered now that are considered political, a lot of places won't show this work. And so we felt that that was this was something that we could contribute, was to figure out a way to be a safe place for artists. And that was really the genesis. So it's a very long-winded answer, but there's a lot of context behind it.
Yeah. I was reading your website and super impressed with your background, his background. He was busy being like a correspondent, like a reporter, and he was able to still, you know, have like a very, I guess, large collection of art.
You know, yeah, he spent many, many decades overseas, and obviously being a journalist, you speak to tons of people and you're following leads and you know, and we come from very different work environments. It's like compulsive with my calendar. And he's like, you got to understand when you're, you know, doing investigative journey, goes, I don't have a calendar.
Exactly.
I can be in 5 cities in one day. I have no idea where it's taking me.
Right, right.
And so, you know, we're figuring this out, and it's really very funny. And but it's so, yes, he, you know, just in speaking with people, he knew how to search out where are artists. When you're, you know, in a very repressive, authoritative government situation, as it was many of the countries he found himself in, a lot of the artists were dissident artists. They were underground. It was very risky to meet with them, for both of them. But, you know, that's, you go where you need to go and you get the story you need to get. And so that's what he spent his career doing. And because he had this understanding and appreciation of art, he has a really good eye for art. And, you know, and so saw the opportunity to be able to collect as he went along. And so over the years, when he looked back, he realized what he had been collecting was political in nature. And that's a really interesting question, is so what is political art?
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And I don't know if you want to get into it, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah, definitely.
Oh, so, you know, it's not clear what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's protest art and there's all kinds of art. But when we talk about political art, it's what are the messages that an artist, and what is he or she trying to communicate in the work? And when we did our first show, which is running right now, is we specifically were encouraging artists to think about abstract work, because it doesn't have to hit you over the head with an obvious political message. Certainly something could be that,
mm-hmm.
but in addition, you know, it's so much more. It can be evocative of a feeling of foreboding, something's over the horizon and it makes you anxious. We have one submission that was accepted by the jury for this particular show that is abstract, but if you look really closely or you read about it, it's a piece called Guns, Lawyers, and Something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, it's a watercolor, but it's also made with gunpowder.
Oh,
and
wow.
There are holes in the paper that are bullet holes. So mm-hmm. There are ways to provide a point of view. Guns, money, and power. And so, you know, and we have others that also speak to the chaos that's out there, the uncertainty that's out there, the anxiety and the anxious foreboding feelings that are out there,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth. So, so we try to get a range of political art, but and throughout history, there's some good examples of it that exist.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Guernica for one. That's one of my favorites.
And Titian did some work. Goya did some work. Somebody that I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Boris Lory, who survived the concentration camps, has just incredible, incredible talent and voice of something, so much to talk about of what we haven't learned. I mean, he's deceased now, but what we haven't learned mm-hmm. since the end of the war, and just really, really profound pieces that what we're hoping to do is provide a platform for some of these works that people may not be familiar with and tie them to what's going on now. So there really is a whole very rich legacy of this work throughout time. And, you know, sometimes, as I said, they're abstractions and sometimes they're very obvious. But the one thing we're trying to do, in addition to everything else, is really raise the acceptance of political art. So it's not really the stepchild that it seems to be, but there is some absolutely brilliant, fine work that's out there, fine art,
right,
that needs to be recognized by major galleries and museums. And frankly, really, we would love to see it be the defining art of the 21st century, if we have anything to say about it. So,
right.
Big, lofty goal. The times are pretty urgent and dire and call for some big, bold action. So
definitely,
there you have it.
Definitely. What is the difference between, or what would you say the difference between propaganda and art is? Is propaganda art?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's one that we talk a lot about. In fact, on our website, Charles has written pretty extensively about that, having spent a lot of years in the Soviet Union, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The propaganda is work that the government is telling you to do or not to do.
Right.
And political art, it, by our definition, is there's a freedom associated with what you're saying and how you're saying it and who you're trying to reach, in
right,
a nutshell.
Right.
And one is state-sponsored and one isn't.
Right, right. So one is the state-sponsored, one is the other is kind of the people.
The more the political, right. It's we the people.
Yeah.
And the freedom to express without fear of repercussion, or your studio burning down or the gallery getting, you know, arrested or what have you, to be able to express what you think is important on a particular issue, particular administration, particular way of governing, and your the rights of people. I mean, look what's going on today, and how, you know, and the other piece that we spend a lot of time, we have a very talented board that we put together, made up of artists and former museum heads and so on. And we spend a lot of time talking about the range of political art as it represents the range of artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of artists who are very angry and enraged, and their work shows that. But
mm-hmm.
there's others that are very empathetic about issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this balance between rage and empathy. And if ultimately you want people to engage in a civic dialogue around the issues,
mm-hmm.
all people,
mm-hmm.
not just same-minded people, or you know, you're never going to get anywhere.
Right, right.
So how do you use this work to be a catalyst to get that momentum going around something?
Mm-hmm.
And so we try really hard to address both of those,
mm-hmm.
that range from rage to empathy.
Right.
Because they all play a role, obviously, all these emotions.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree. I think art tells a story in a way that words can't.
Exactly.
And I think that if you want to evoke change, art is definitely the best way to do it. I'm curious, how, like you say, you want to engage the other side. How do you do that with, I mean, yeah, you
right.
said show empathy, but I mean, like, how do you do that kind of without pissing them off? And I mean,
right. Well, so it's, you know, anything that hasn't been done before usually hasn't been done because it's not easy, or someone would have figured it out. So
right.
we're trying as we go. And actually, you know, when we did our open call, and again, we had long board discussions, you know, what do we take something that's, you know, pro-terror, what's the word I'm looking for? Torture,
mm-hmm.
or pro, you know, something that's just outrageous.
Right.
But, or pro white supremacy, right?
Right.
And so we had long discussions about that. But if you're about the First Amendment and you're and
mm-hmm.
our work was juried, so there
right.
is a high level of quality that one has to pass. But assuming that's, you know, apples to apples level of quality,
mm-hmm.
the idea was if there was something that had a different point of view that wasn't hate speech and it wasn't so egregious as to be inappropriate
mm-hmm.
by accepted standards,
right.
That we would show it in the hopes that we could all everyone has the right to have a point of view. And, you know, there are reasons why people vote the way they do. And mm-hmm. we all need to understand what that is.
Exactly.
If art can bring us together, then so be it.
Exactly.
And the truth of the matter was, of the over 500 submissions from 296 artists, not one was pro any of the current administration's policies. Mm-hmm. Not one was pro a particular person in the White House or cabinet, etc. Mm-hmm. So what we did, when we did the open call, we did it to the typical art sites that you would send. We didn't send it to political organizations. We went to the art sites, and mm-hmm. then from there it was a self-selection process.
Right.
However, we were invited, Charles and I, to be on our local Fox News station last week, which we were, and we were
cool.
asked the question, well, it seems like most of the art in the show is leaning towards, you know, anti the administration. And we
right.
said, well, not by design, but mm-hmm. by what was submitted. And at that moment, we encouraged artists
right.
out there to please, we would extend the deadline for somebody who had something to show that was a different point of view.
Right.
And not only that, we're extending the show to the end of November to allow for that. So we made another pitch mm-hmm. to have those, you know, a different viewpoint mm-hmm. so that we could offer the same space to artists who want to perhaps say in their work what they're feeling about. Maybe they're feeling safer. Maybe they have a better job. Maybe they want to speak to what they see as economic gains. I don't know. I don't speak for them.
Mm-hmm.
But there you have it. So I will offer it up to you too, if you know anybody who has a work of art
mm-hmm.
that perhaps is would like to support what's going on and show that point of view, because the name of our exhibit is Defining the Art of Change in the Age of Trump, and certainly there are these other points of view.
Mm-hmm.
So
you want to include them
all.
Yeah,
so we'd like to extend it. So if you know anybody, please encourage them to submit.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think that's really great. I think so much of there's no real civil discourse anymore within politics. There's always just
your side, my side.
And yeah, exactly. I want to win. But I think with art, everyone wins. I mean, it's just kind of like, and that's a corny thing to say, corny conclusion. But I mean, it's just like you express yourself, and I don't even know how to explain it. It's,
I think that what it does is it takes you out of the realm of he said, she said, and you start with, well, what is this artist trying to say? It's not always, you know, immediately clear, unless it's, you know, we do have a few that there's no question what, and sometimes there are words that actually amplify what the artist is trying to say.
Right.
But you have to start engaging. And we had one gentleman come to the, just as a for example, we had one man come to our gallery, and when he was getting ready to leave, he stopped and he said, why are Americans afraid of President Trump? And I said, what do you mean? He said, it seems that everybody's afraid their rights are taken away. He said, I've been living in this country in the U.S. for 25 years. He was born and raised in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said he loves Mr. Trump, and it was all about economic reasons. He
mm-hmm.
said that he grew up in abject poverty, and, you know, we had a very civil conversation about why some people are in favor of the economic policies, and then another person who was in the gallery came by and joined the conversation and expressed his point of view, which was different from the gentleman from Russia, and we
mm-hmm.
all got in this very civil conversation about different points of view, different life experiences, different things
right.
you bring. But in a million years, we never would have had that conversation with one another had it not been in this gallery.
Absolutely.
So this is really an example of what we're hoping, you know, will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So that
what else can I tell you about what we're doing?
You sent me a picture of, you say it was called like the abduction of Jim McCullough, or something about Jim McClellan.
Oh, the abduction of truth and justice.
Oh, okay.
Juliet McCullough.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, I didn't understand. I didn't know if.
Oh, that's the artist's name is Juliet, and it was based on, you know, a traditional a former work, and she modernized it. And what you see is so it's the abduction of truth and justice.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, and by greed and power.
Okay.
And then there are horses in the background that are, you know, stampeding. It's this, the greed and corporate and so on. And it's just, it's a modern day take on what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, like we were saying, that speaks more than any words ever could.
Right. And I don't know if I sent you one where we have Trump devouring America, but it's really a modernization of Goya with his son, with the Greek god, I'm going to blank on his name, but it's the sun god. It might be Saturn.
Right.
Devouring his son, because based on the story, he was worried each of his children was going to take over. So when they're born, he devours them. So it's based on a myth. So Goya painted a mythological painting, and this is based on that. The genesis of this one, of Trump devouring America. So there are very real ties back to some of the, let's call them, legacy paintings from, you know, the great masters back in the day.
Yeah.
But just, you know, for the times we're living in now, an interesting interpretation of it.
Yeah, that does sound interesting.
We had another piece. I don't know if I sent you the one of the carvings and the condoms on them. Did I happen to
You didn't send me that one, and I don't think you sent me the other one that you were just the one of the Goya.
The devouring one. America.
Yeah, you didn't send me that one either.
Oh, I'm happy to follow up after.
Awesome, that'd be very cool.
Yeah, the one that was done actually at American University. His name is Brian McGinnis, and he, you know, symbolically, condoms are to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually carved these wooden dildos and put hand-painted condoms of each of Steve Bannon, Steve Mnuchin, Mike Pence, Jared, you know, Mr. Trump,
mm-hmm.
Painted on these, and has a whole display of, I think there's six of them. And his statement is about, you know, we're not being protected by men.
Right. So
it's interesting. So there's different, you know, just different approaches. There's one that by an artist, George Kennedy, who took the four freedoms that Norman Rockwell did of want, religion, worship, and freedom from fear,
mm-hmm.
and updated it with, for example, so freedom from fear, the tucking the little kids in at night, but it's Wayne LaPierre with an assault weapon over his shoulder, and
mm-hmm.
You know, so just a modern
twist on
all of these, with different people from the news in mm-hmm. the paintings.
Right.
So Rockwell, you know, 2.0, I guess.
Exactly. That's funny. So what is the response you get from people who come in?
Oh my gosh, amazing. Just even people with a different point of view
mm-hmm.
Applaud us for A, having the guts to do it, B, providing a place for the artists, and C, they think it's fabulous. People want a place to get excited about what's happening and something different that isn't just, you know, data and social media feeds, but mm-hmm. actually real art,
mm-hmm.
which is really, really exciting to hear. People do want to engage with art, which is thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get great notes in our little sign-in book there. And mm-hmm. One painting is, or work, I should say, is made up of 4,000 polyurethane middle fingers. And when you put it together, it is Donald Trump. And they're all different skin tones. And it's one of the biggest works, and it's one of the first things you see when you walk in.
Right.
A group of young students, I think they were university students visiting from somewhere in the country. One of them wrote on the way out, two enthusiastic middle fingers up or something like that, which I thought was clever.
That is clever.
We're getting a lot of media interest too, from all different types of media outlets. So we think that it's really taking hold and creating a little bit of, you know, people are starting to get very interested in it, and it really speaks to our thesis, which is the power of art is powerful. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing, is we're trying to provide a place where artists can feel that they could create social and political art, and that somebody will show it. And the other thing is, if people want to buy the art, because we are a nonprofit, not only are we open to showing all points of view, and we're very, very careful about what we do show so it doesn't violate any of our requirements, but we don't take money for it. So the artist gets 100% of whatever, and we just connect whoever's interested to the artist, and they can negotiate whatever it is that they want. Yeah, so
that
we
is
do
rare.
Not take a cent from the artist. It's all for the artist.
Wow, that is rare.
yeah. So, and they're happy because no one else will show their work of this type.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's it's probably a little contentious for a lot of places, and I think that's wrong. I think that you shouldn't be afraid of discussion and even fights.
Expression, I mean,
totally.
You know, some people will be offended. There's some bad language in some of it. Some people may not like that. Some is, you know, that there are condoms, or they may say it's disrespectful. And that's their right to say that, and we don't want to take that away from them, and they don't have to come to the gallery. But for those people who feel that they need this outlet to express what they're thinking and feeling and want to communicate, that is their right as well. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure, and we think that artists actually have a way of speaking to people who maybe don't feel like their voice is heard, and, you know, might help remind people to get out and vote and exercise that right. So,
absolutely.
You know, that's why we felt really strongly we had to do this particular show leading up to the election. We're not telling them who to vote for. We're just saying that's your civic responsibility to vote. Now make sure you get out there and exercise your right to do that.
Right. Well, that is awesome. This is so fantastic, Robin.
Yeah, well, I hope you can maybe get... you're based in North Carolina.
Yeah, right? In Charlotte.
Well, if you ever get to D.C., we'd love to have you come by the gallery and have a look.
Yeah, I'd love to do it sometime. We travel north sometimes. We haven't in a while, but it's possible we might do it in the future. So I definitely would want to stop by.
And we'll have a catalog out in the next couple of weeks. So it'll be online and people can download it. And then we'll have print copies as well. So, and that will have all of the works with the artist statements, as well as some provocative essays up front before we get to the work. So it'll be a nice package of the exhibit for once it rolls up.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That is so great. I love this. I absolutely love this.
Thank you. Yeah, it's exciting to work on, actually.
Yeah.
It's important, it's fun, and we're meeting really interesting people along the way and really talented people. And it's great to be able to provide a place for them to show their work, because I fear some of it might not have been seen by others. And again, think it's important to stress that a lot of the issues that are raised, I mean, certainly some of them are, you know, of the moment. So, but many of the issues and topics that were submitted are problems that as a country and our democracy has been battling with for decades, if not centuries, racial inequality, income inequality, immigration issues, gender problems and inequity.
Right.
So these are not issues that just suddenly appear.
Right.
These are things that throughout our history we're grappling with.
Right.
They seem to be on steroids at the moment. And there's many other issues that have been introduced that are, to say the least, concerning.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, again, this is not news for anyone that follows these issues, but so we are raising attention to them, and just the stakes are really high right now. So the environment was another one that we got quite a few submissions as well. So and we had different media that artists were working in. Some are some quilting, some oil, some watercolors, lots of assemblages, some sculpture, and video, big painting, small pieces. Just real, and together it's pretty powerful.
Right.
It's pretty powerful when you see it all together.
Right. And you might have said this, but how do you decide like what issue to take? Do you decide we're going to do an exhibition on this, or is it just the submissions that decide it? Or
well, no, actually, we start first with the topic and then do an open call, and then the submissions come in based on the framing of the call. But we've only done one so far, so we're building on the history of Charles, gallery that he did before we rolled it up and created the nonprofit. So he's done different topics. He actually did one on propaganda. He did one on gun safety after, I think, Sandy Hook. He did one on numerous other topics. But we have a list of topics that we're going to do going forward, one of which is white supremacy. And then we also just want to be really, really flexible. So we're going to hit on issues that are in the moment. And most of the shows we're doing are open calls as opposed to identifying a person and then doing a very carefully curated show where we know the pieces we want. We will do some of those, but we're also really interested in the open call because that's just a way of reaching a much broader swath of the artists.
Right, right. Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think this is so awesome.
Well, thank you. So, I really appreciate that. And we have a board meeting tonight, so I'll let everybody know that there's a lot of excitement in North Carolina.
Yeah, totally.
And elsewhere.
Totally.
And, so spread the word.
Yeah.
We want people to know about it. There's no fee to come look at it. Just check the website for our hours because we're not open every single day.
Right.
Monday, Tuesday by appointment, and then Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 6, and sometimes they change if there's a program going on because we're also doing programs around the art too and trying to get the artists to talk about their work. So a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot going on right now, but why
totally.
Not?
Totally.
No time like the present, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There it is.
For sure. Well, thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you so much to Robin Strongen at the Center for Political Art in D.C. for being a part of such a necessary dialogue. Again, to my conservative friends, this is a place to get involved in. Engage the culture. And if you're in the D.C. area, definitely stop by. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production.